Welcome to Rainer on Leadership. This is episode number 603, Lessons Learned from Churches That Almost Died But Didn't. That is a full mouth of words. Man, lessons learned from churches that almost died but didn't. My name is Tom Rainer. I am joined by Sam Rainer. Both of us are a part of the leadership of Church Answers, and we're going to be talking good news today. And the good news is there have been some churches on the precipice of death, looking down into that deep, dark black hole. And before they fell into it, they recovered. And now many of them are thriving. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Before we do that, let me thank Vanderblumen. Vanderblumen, our great sponsor, has been serving churches for more than 9 years. You know that they also serve Christian schools, nonprofits, and also Christian businesses. They do a lot of things, and they want to help you find your staff person, your pastor in your church, your Christian school, your nonprofit, whatever value-based business. Contact our friends at vanderblumen.com. Sam, I will refer in just a moment to a book that I just released with Rainer Publishing called Anatomy of a Revived Church. Do you remember where anatomy came from? The word, how we use it so frequently in our family.
Yeah. It was one of my favorite classes in high school. So I learned a lot in my class because it's all memorization. It's the only science class that I did fairly well in.
No, you did well. You were valedictorian. You did well in all of them.
Well, okay. Yes, I knew enough to pass the tests, but I certainly was no expert in chemistry or biology or anything like that. I guess I learned the knowledge to pass.
Well, your brothers and I have always given you a hard time because you would frequently say in high school, I learned it in anatomy. And so whenever you would say something, we'd give you a hard time and say, did you learn that in anatomy, Sam?
Yeah, I enjoyed the class. It was a lot of fun.
Do you remember your teacher? I don't.
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot like that? We moved around so much. It's hard for me to even remember. You know, people say, well, where were you in second grade?
You were at Christian Academy of Louisville.
I know. I remember high school, of course. But yes, I don't exactly remember the teacher off the top of my head.
Let it be known that the course impressed him, whoever you are, teacher.
Maybe he or she listens to the podcast. I don't know.
Okay, let's look at three of these things that I think are important. And here's what we're going to do. We will move three of the points to episode number 604. And this is really a two-parter because we want to expand upon it a bit. We want to be able to get into some of the nitty-gritty details because this is good stuff. And many years ago, I wrote a book called Breakout Churches. It was based on a study of 52,333 churches for which we had data. And we looked at the churches that turned around. We only came up with 13. It's not that there were only 13 of those, but we only were able to find 13. But in every one of those situations, it was they got rid of the pastor. What we are seeing more and more now is turnaround churches where the same pastor was there for the decline and also there for the increase, which is good news as we begin to talk about revitalization. So, Sam, the first point on this that I want you to elaborate on is there is always hope for churches.
Yeah, I mean, I pastored one of these churches, not one of the breakout churches in your study, but I pastored a church that was all but dead. That was my first church pastorate.
Weren't having services.
They weren't having services. They had not had services in 2 years, but the people still existed, and they would go up there to the church every now and then and clean up or have a meal. So there was still technically a remnant that was there. But no, that was Union Band Baptist. They had six people. You talk about your first church, the Church of Merle, that had seven. I had a church of six. So you beat me on that a little bit. And I didn't have a Merle. I had Herbie. So it is kind of funny, our parallel paths a little bit there.
Yeah, but your church got something my church did not. Your church got the Church of the Year by Lifeway.
Yes. And I'm wondering if maybe you had a little something to do with that.
CEO is a pressure-packed position, but it does have its perks and privileges. And when we decided the Church of the Year, since we weren't doing a Church of the Year award, I said, why not? Hey, your people were thrilled.
Yeah, I think we were the 2005 Church of the Year. Did you ever do that? I mean, so we won it as the inaugural part of the award. Did you ever do it again?
No, you did it as the inaugural and the finale. I mean, okay. Union Band was so incredible that we said we could never do this again.
Well, it was, you know, it was a neat turnaround story because there was no air conditioning. So
I
that was one.
That.
We actually went door to door in the community soliciting donations for the church so that we could put our air conditioning in, at the same time telling people about Jesus. So it was a rather unique campaign, door to door evangelism.
If you want to stay cool, you need to know Jesus, both in this life and the afterlife.
Well, believe it or not, we collected enough funds to be able to put it together. The community actually rallied. They were just excited. The old church, you know, it was the building was very old. It's a historical kind of building. And the community was, it was a rural community. I was driving 2 hours one way to get there. They were excited to be able to help. And that little church grew. We started with six. What I didn't know when I arrived, I was 24 when I got there, was the expectation of the pastor was not only just preaching and shepherding, but also leading the music.
I remember that. You've got my gift of music.
I do. And I don't know how the church grew under my leadership as the song leader. The girlfriend at the time, now wife, when she was able to be there, played the piano. It was a very out of tune piano. So out of tune, out of tune singer, out of tune piano, two negatives make a positive. We somehow put it together. But yeah, the little church grew. The outreach efforts worked. Some people came back to the church. Some community members came to the church. So by the time I left, we were close to 40. It was always nice when my family came and visited because, you know, it would approach 50 and, you know, we'd have a 20-25% bump, you know, when family came and visited. We did a big anniversary event and had over about 100 people there. So that, you know, that was one of the highlights. But love that ministry, love that church. Yes, it was a struggle to get them back on their feet, particularly because I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't know what I was doing, but I really had no idea what I was doing there at Union Band. But it all worked. So there is hope. Absolutely, there's hope, even in the most dire of circumstances, even when you don't think that it can't possibly happen. It can. God can work. So be encouraged, listeners, if you're in a tough spot.
Sam, I did a blog post. I don't remember the exact date. I'll ask Amy just to put it on there about rural churches and the good news about rural churches, about rural communities, that in 2013, the rate of decline got smaller in rural and small town communities. And in 2017, it actually began to be an increase in the population of rural and small town communities. And I put that there in talking about the hope for rural and small town churches. And of course, they don't all fit in the category of churches that almost died. The comments in that blog post are some of the most encouraging comments I've ever heard, because many of these small town church pastors, rural church pastors, are providing stories of how their church has turned around. They weren't getting denominational funding. They didn't have, to say they didn't have an abundance of resources would not be the correct way to say it. They hardly had any resources. And yet story after story in the comments, I would encourage you to go there and just read some of them, talking to the listeners. If you don't understand the hope of Christ in churches, read what he has done in those churches. And once again, no external funding, no special help. They just saw God do a great work in those churches. So you often say that if God can save any person, he can save any church.
God can save any person, he can save any church. I believe that firmly. I don't think that it gives God glory when any church dies. I don't like the concept of believing that any church should die. In fact, I believe it's anti-biblical to say that a church should die. That's tantamount to saying that a person should go to hell. So all of these churches are worth the effort. Some are harder than others. Some will die, most certainly. But to say that they should die is the wrong posture. I believe in hope in any circumstance, in any case, even when it's tough. And Union Band wasn't easy. The people there were good, but there was a reason that the remnant was six and they hadn't had services in 2 years. And there was certainly some challenges, but it's worth the effort. And I do believe that any church can be revitalized.
I remember the first, maybe for your anniversary, where you had all kind of food in the adjacent building there. Was that the anniversary?
Yes. Yeah. And part of it was you know, introducing the new throne room. That's the, when they said they were approaching the throne room, they meant something different because the outhouse had just gone away and they had put a bathroom in the separate building. And so
which
everyone,
which is parallel to my story at Merle.
In many ways, yeah, it's kind of creepy, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But what's funny is there was maybe 25 years removed, 20 years between your story and my story. So
yeah, what year were you there? I know the church is near Bardstown, Kentucky, but that's even a distance away.
Yeah, I mean it was buried in one of the counties in Kentucky. Very, you know, in the
2004?
Hollers. I went there in 2004. Yeah,
yeah.
Buried in the Hollers of Kentucky, and that's what they would say. I am from the Hollers. So for those of you who are from the Hollers, hey, you're in good company.
And just a little note here as we talk about hope, you count on the pastor and the leader to provide that hope. Sometimes you have to be the one to remind them as the leader of the church that there is hope, because churches can get discouraged and despondent, church members can, and they're looking to the pastor quite often to provide to be the purveyor of hope.
It's one of the key parts of leadership is inspiring hope with people who are following. If you don't inspire hope, it is very hard to lead people.
The second point is a segue from something you mentioned y'all were going door to door to get donations for the air condition. The community in many of these churches, they want a healthy church. The community either explicitly or intuitively knows that if there is a healthy community, if there is a healthy church there, it can only be good for the community.
Yeah, I would say that in most communities, there's a segment that would desire for the church to do well. They may not want to give to the church. They may not want to go to the church. But I think that there is a lot, it's at least in the American context, this concept of a healthy church is good for the community. And I would play into that if you're a church leader, that the community would desire some level of health in the church. And I would say that's true of most communities. It was certainly the case at Union Band. You know, we were Protestant, Baptist specifically. The community was predominantly Catholic, and many, given the dynamics of the community, would never think about showing up in a Baptist church because of their background. But they did want the church to do well. They had a kingdom mindset of, you know, this particular church in our community needs to have a presence. And so they were helpful in many ways. Some of them gave to the church to help with, putting in air conditioning, getting everything painted. And one of the things that Herbie, the lone deacon, let me do was they had the big church bell out front.
And, oh, I remember the bell.
Yes. And he handed me several cans of spray paint and said, your job is to go paint that bell. And it was symbolic many ways of him actually kind of submitting to me as a leader, him encouraging me, him saying, you are our pastor. I got to go paint the bell red. And that red bell ended up being a symbol in the community of, you know, the church is alive again. You would drive by, it'd be right out front, the giant red bell, you couldn't miss it. And so when the community saw that red bell, it meant that, hey, the church is doing God's work again. And it really, and because the community had been in decline and because many had left and it was a rural farming community, the fact that there was life at the church meant, hey, maybe there can be life in our community again. And that encouraged everyone.
You talk about a little bit of irony. I saw you looking at your phone, so I know you're multitasking. So sometimes I multitask as well. And while I'm speaking to you, I got an email. And it is from a pastor who is helping to turn around a small rural church in Texas. And he found out I had the URL turnaround.church, and they want to call their church Turnaround Church.
Oh, wow.
And he wants me to release the URL to them so that they can use that for their domain, which I'm probably inclined to do so, especially since I've already said it on the podcast.
Yeah, I think you have to now.
Yeah.
Actually, and you know what? I kind of like that name. Just as it hits me, you know, hearing this for the first time, whoever that is, good job.
Yeah.
And yes, I will speak on your behalf, Dad. We will be glad to release the domain and give it.
At absolutely no charge. Maybe I shouldn't be reading his email, but this is just kind of fun. It just came in. He said, here's a little backstory. our parking lot has a signal light because the street that intersects the street Walmart is located on. People are consistently using our parking lot to turn around. We felt it would be a great name due to the practice. People can have their lives turned around plus repentance, and it can also happen in the parking lot too.
Love it.
This guy's got it all together. So
this is a great story. I'm glad that you were looking at your email while I was talking.
It just came in. Amy J's in Virginia in the production area, and Kevin is in Lexington, Kentucky in the production area. Amy J, I'm just going to forward this email to you, and you can let this pastor know that I am releasing turnaround.church to him at absolutely no charge. I thought at some point I would use it for a conference or something, but I'm more concerned about a local church being able to use this and keeping it for ourselves. I don't know how to release domains. I'm sure Brian on our team can do it. So we'll figure it out. Isn't that a great story? Just as we were talking, that came in. Just as we were talking.
The Holy Spirit still works, and we have our moments, I guess.
I guess so. And we have them. You have them on your Android, and I have them on my iPhone. There's always hope. A community desires a healthy church. And this one is so obvious, Sam, but we got to say it. Prayer is foundational and essential in a turnaround church. It is not a human-centered effort.
Yeah, I mean, if you want your church revived, then you need a revival in your own soul. If you're not a praying pastor, you can't expect your church to start turning around. Prayer is the foundation of every ministry. Prayer is the foundation of every revitalization. Prayer is the foundation of every movement of God. And, you know, I don't quite know how all that works, and I don't want to sound too mystical or mysterious, but
you sound biblical to me.
Well, if you're not praying, you shouldn't expect God to work. God will do what he's going to do. I have a very high view of the sovereignty of God. But if you're not laying the foundation of prayer, then you shouldn't expect God to work. I wouldn't. So as you are working in your church, as you are seeing your church revived, revitalized, let's make sure that it is preceded by a revival in our own souls. And the only way that that's going to happen is through the power of prayer.
I appreciate you sons. Y'all are Rainer publishing Anatomy of a Revived Church. I have an entire chapter in Anatomy of a Revived Church about how many of these, all of these turnarounds, is no exception, were preceded by a powerful movement of prayer. So that's certainly in this book, Anatomy. By the way, you know this, but the listening audience would have no reason to know this. Anatomy of a Revived Church is the prequel to Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And so that book that was widely used, widely disseminated, that book became really a foundational book in many revitalization stories. And now we have the prequel. How about those that didn't? So we got the good story in addition to the tough story about churches that are dying. Sam, what we're going to do, because we want to talk about this and give it a little more time, is we're going to hold off and go to the other points. We have four other things that we want to talk about lessons learned from churches that almost died but didn't. We're going to cover them in episode number 604. So we'll get to some of those. I knew that we would take a while to get to all of these.
There's more. What we're saying.
Yes. In the words of the late Steve Jobs, there's more. I want to mention.
I was thinking more like Billy Mays. But we can do Steve Jobs.
Okay. Whenever he made his presentations of the latest product, he would say, but wait, there's more. I'm sorry. Jobs. Billy Hook.
I'm more, if you know, I'm more in the Billy Mays camp, and you know, God rest
who's,
his.
Who's Billy Mays?
This is the millennial boomer divide right now. That's what's happening right now.
Okay. I'll Google Billy Mays off air, and we'll talk about it. But we
use OxyClean at my house because of Billy Mays.
Oh, now I know who you're talking about. He's the guy that shouts on commercials.
Exactly. Yes. But wait, there's more.
And he's deceased, is he not?
He did pass away, yes.
I thought that was the case. So we're talking about the late Billy Mays and the late Steve Jobs. I do want to mention before we get off that we are going to be opening up enrollment. This is something we do very infrequently to Church Consultation University. If you want to be certified as a church consultant, you need to jump in and start being ready for this But prior to this, we're going to have a webinar on Tuesday, January 14th, Seven Habits of Successful Church Consultants. And we're going to be looking at that and looking at that information coming on January 14th. So we'll be getting information to sign up, and you can see in the show notes here as well. We always are thankful to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. It hadn't been that long ago that it was Giving Tuesday. I woke up on Tuesday morning, wrote my check to Southeastern Seminary, and next thing I know, I'm looking online, and there's a video of me talking about giving to Southeastern Seminary. Love Southeastern Seminary. Their mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. They have 40 different degree programs, and one is in partnership with Church Answers and Revitalized Network called the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. It's only 37 hours. You can move through it very quickly, and you'll learn how to deal with these churches and to be one of those leaders to help a church that maybe is almost dying and coming back to life. Learn more about this program and more by visiting sebts.edu or looking at your show notes. Where are you going? Southeastern will help you get there. We've covered a lot in this podcast, but do stay tuned, because in the next podcast, Rainer on Leadership, we're going to go to part two, lessons 4, 5, 6, and 7, lessons learned from churches that almost died but didn't. We'll see you then as we continue to work together, to serve together, and to help churches get healthier together.